Greetings to you and welcome to a special broadcast from WXPR. This is Ben Meyer and we're bringing you a local forum focusing on the COVID-19 pandemic here in the Northwoods. We've got five panelists with us to focus specifically on northern Wisconsin and the western Upper Peninsula. You may have been hearing quite a bit about the COVID-19 pandemic nationally and on a statewide basis, but we'd like to bring you a local perspective. So I'm going to introduce our panelists, and then we'll hear from them in just a moment. Then, over the course of this hour, thanks to you, our WXPR listeners, we've gotten several questions submitted, and we'll ask those and have our panelists answer those as we go. So I'd like to first introduce our panelists, and then we'll hear a little bit from each of them about what's going on with their organization and what the public needs to know about the steps they're taking. Then we'll get to the questions. By the way, as you might guess, we're recording this forum remotely. I'm at the WXPR studios, and we're recording this remotely to keep social distancing with our panelists on the line over Zoom. So on our panel is Linda Conlin, the director of the Oneida County Health Department, as well as Terry Williams, the Rhinelander Fire Chief, and he's also been designated the Emergency Management Director for the City of Rhinelander. Kelly Jacoby is the superintendent of the school district of Rhinelander. Tom Weaver is a spokesman for Ascension Health System, and Lauren Sackett is the director of the Rhinelander Chamber of Commerce. So I'm going to start with Linda. Linda is the Oneida County Health Director, and Linda, no doubt you've had a lot on your plate over the last couple of weeks. Give us an update on where we stand Oneida County-wise and what your department is focusing on.
Sure. So far in Oneida County, we've been very fortunate not to have anybody test positive. We have tested 47 individuals, and 26 of them have come back negative, and 21 tests are pending. I'm just going to give you a quick update as of today for Wisconsin. Wisconsin has 8,237 negatives, 457 positives, and 5 deaths. And in the United States, we have climbed to 54,453 cases with 737 deaths. So we are seeing an increase in numbers of positive COVID, but luckily in Oneida County, we have not seen our first positive yet. In public health, we have been very busy working with the community on a number of different initiatives. We need to keep the public informed on everything COVID-19, basically. So we want to make sure the message is getting out about mass gathering order that recently came out. And of course, the safer at home order that came out yesterday, travel restrictions, social distancing. And a big part of what we've been doing is also assisting healthcare systems, infection control, helping them understand the testing guidelines, understanding the isolation and quarantine guidelines. Businesses, schools, and long-term care facilities. So just basically working with our partners in all of the guidance that's coming out surrounding COVID-19, and then working within our community as well, giving people the information that they need in order to make informed decisions.
That's Linda Condlin, the Oneida County Health Director. And Linda, I know our listeners have plenty of questions for you, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's shift to Terry Williams. Terry Williams is the fire chief of the city of Rhinelander, and also in the emergency declaration by Mayor Chris Fredrickson, he was named the emergency director of the city of Rhinelander as well during this COVID-19 pandemic and outbreak. Terry, what updates can you give us?
Hello. I think the big thing for us right now in the Rhinelander Fire Department, we're seeing some patients through 911 calls that are having some of the signs and symptoms that people are associating with COVID. The problem is those same signs and symptoms can be signs and symptoms from a number of other things. So, The two big things that we're working on here internally are making sure that my employees are well informed so that they can protect themselves, and trying to gather and make sure that we have enough personal protective equipment for my members, which everybody that's on this call knows is next to impossible to find right now, from N95 masks to gowns to our nitrile gloves that we use every day. It's become a challenge to make sure that our responders are protected in the department here. You know, the one message I think that's really, really important is as much as we can is using like telephone in type of medical systems to not overburden our healthcare system in these times. You know, if you can stay at home and call your doctor or call in to one of the telephone type of healthcare systems, it helps keep all of our public, including our healthcare workers, safe.
Terry, thank you. That's Terry Williams, the Rhinelander Fire Chief. And let's turn to Kelly Jacoby right now. Kelly is the superintendent of the school district of Rhinelander. And she, like all other superintendents of public and private schools in the state, is in a really unique position of not having school. Kelly, tell us about where the district is, where other districts are, and the challenges that you're facing without in-person school.
Last week we were on spring break, so we extended that for students to include Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. Tomorrow we are moving forward with our remote learning. Some of our students will be using online curriculum. Some of our students will be using paper and pencil. In our area, there are families with no internet access, so we have to be sure we're tailoring instruction to meet the needs of our students. We are keeping all hands on deck, clearly not in the school buildings, but we're finding that we're able to keep all of our employees busy in our mission of educating students. They may not be doing what they normally do, but there are so many jobs that need to be done to get curriculum out, looking at, you know, from the 4K students, the little ones, all the way through high school. Things that need to be done. We're also doing a food service program, Tahir is, and they started that on Monday. So any children in our community, you know, 0 to 18, if they need food, they're able to do a pickup. Monday, it was 7 to 9 a.m. and then 3 to 5 p.m., and they were able to pick up for as many children as they had in their family, breakfasts and lunch for 3 days. And so we'll do that again tomorrow, same times, and it will be food to get through Thursday and Friday. And then any of the children in our backpack program will also be able to pick up their backpacks for the weekend program. Teachers and staff are really working hard to come up with plans for the kids to keep learning going, working with parents to make sure, you know, parents know what they need to know, because these are really hard times and parents, not all parents are trained teachers. Imagine that. And so we're working really hard to make sure we're giving people the supports that they need.
That's Kelly Jacoby, the superintendent of the school district of Rhinelander. Tom Weaver, let's check in with you. Tom, a spokesperson with Ascension, obviously a critical role in the healthcare delivery system here in our area. Tom, what do people need to know?
Well, I think the first thing they need to know is being a 24/7, 365-day operation at facilities of all different sizes and scopes throughout, you know, the state or throughout the nation for that factor. You know, preparedness is something that is always in our vocabulary. We've been preparing, you know, emergency preparedness off and on, you know, throughout our organizations every week. You know, for this particular response, in early January, the signs that, you know, something could be forthcoming started. So since then, we've been doing a lot of work at all of our levels throughout hospitals, clinics, and other locations. We've opened our incident commands to manage these things like emergency response folks do. And we're leaning on resources, not only locally, statewide, but nationally. So, you know, all that trying to connect with our facilities and our people, as well as our community partners. I'd have to say it's kind of been broken up into two areas. There's things that we have already implemented to enhance our operations, things like our facility screening and visitor restrictions. We had to set some guidelines for those people that are coming to our facilities, either for appointments. You know, we have restricted visitors in our locations, and we are screening any people for signs and symptoms as they come in. We've done other things like postpone non-urgent or elective procedures. All that is designed to do to expand capacity to help redeploy staff and get care in areas that may need it, with kind of the unknown of what to expect here over the next couple of weeks or months in order to best meet those needs. a lot of work being done about equipment. What do we have access to? It's really a two-sided coin for us. It's providing the needed care to people in the community that need it, but it's also protecting our healthcare workforce, as the chief said earlier, you know, making sure that we have those healthy healthcare workers and clinicians to do that. So are they using the equipment properly? Are they using it so that we can get the most use out of it, you know, not knowing what shortages may lie ahead and things like that, to conserve and get the most use out of it. And then we're also working on some things to try to expand things as they come. I'm happy to announce that on Thursday, we'll be opening our first three drive-through screening locations in central and northern Wisconsin. One in Rhinelander at our Cable Avenue Clinic, which for those in the Rhinelander area, also been referred to as the Riverside Clinic or the former St. Mary's Hospital. So one there, one at our Crandon Clinic, and then one in the Stevens Point area at our Plover Clinic. The other thing that our lab people in the background are trying to do is to solidify the testing procedure to allow our Ascension Wisconsin laboratories to be able to do the testing, to open up, to get more people tested, to get results quicker and things like that. And our facilities are diligently working on what we call our surge plans. You know, if we get a surge of patients coming in that need to be seen in our clinics, in our EDs, in our urgent cares, or whatever it may be, what resources are there? How do we partner with folks if necessary? You know, alternate sites of care, things like that, putting all the options out there so that we're as best prepared as we can.
Tom, thank you. That's Tom Weaver from Ascension Healthcare. And certainly, while this is a health crisis, there's also a health of our community aspect as well, including the health of our local economy. And let's bring in Lauren Sackett from the Rhinelander Area Chamber of Commerce, who's working just as hard as everyone else on this conversation. Lauren, what should people know from your end?
So last week we started having a conversation with big community stakeholders, including everybody in this listening session. And we decided that we would try to help as best we can by compiling resources to keep everyone informed. So we started compiling information, and we created a community resources page on our website that includes health information, it includes business guidance, it includes information about potentially voting absentee, if you might have an issue with employment, how you might be able to get some unemployment, as well as resources for our small businesses. This is really affecting our small businesses with having to potentially be closed and how those things affect them. So what resources are available for them through the different economic development corporations, small business administration, and how we might be able to help them. A lot of talking with legislators as well in terms of getting resources into the Northwoods and to small businesses that don't typically qualify for different things, bailouts like in the past.
That's Lauren Sackett from the Rhinelander Area Chamber of Commerce, and we'll hear from all the people that you heard just a little bit more over the course of this hour. What we wanted to do is open this panel discussion up to you, the listeners of WXPR, and you've been great. You've submitted lots of questions, and let's ask some of the people that are really smart about these topics. The first question is going to be probably for Linda at Oneida County or Tom. We got a lot of questions about testing, as you might have suspected, and the question is that I heard many times, or that was sent in many times, including Jim and others, was: are there enough tests to go around in the Northwoods? Who should be getting a test? That's something that people have been paying attention to in national news. But what's our situation in the Northwoods, Linda? Who should be getting a test, and are there enough to go around?
So at this point in time for testing, the State Lab of Hygiene has indicated that they are only going to test what they are calling Tier 1 and Tier 2 patients. And Tier 1 and Tier 2 patients basically amount to people who have been hospitalized with symptoms and with symptoms of COVID, and healthcare workers with unexplained symptoms. So those are our tiers between Tier 1 and Tier 2. And those are the tests that the State Lab of Hygiene are running, and they are running a little behind on the results. The good news is that we have identified several labs in the United States and in Wisconsin, nearby Minnesota, that can also do testing. And we sent that information out
yesterday to our hospital partners, and hopefully that can get some more tests off the ground and get them to the places that they can get results much more quickly. In addition to that, we have our own tests that we have sent in for the State Lab of Hygiene from our area. If they were not a tier one or tier two, the State Lab of Hygiene was batching those and sending those out to other labs such as Mayo Clinic. And we are starting to see some of those results come in. The testing results were being delayed, some of them as long as 7 to 8 days. And so we were really happy to see that there are some alternative solutions. So the hospitals are deciding, and Tom can talk about this, the hospitals are looking at what labs they're going to be sending their lab tests to, and probably it'll be based on the tiers that the patients fall into.
Yeah, Tom, you want to follow up on that?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And I think you will hopefully see things improve as far as the labs that are coming online. There's more and more every day. As I said earlier, we have folks diligently working in one of our labs right here in Wisconsin to, you know, be able to bring that testing online and do it in-house, which that should greatly do things. You know, we have relationships with other these other labs outside of the state lab as well for the tier three and tier four. That's what we'll be leaning on for these drive-through sites that we're doing. But I think the other aspect and an important aspect for people is before they seek out being tested or screened, you have to be seen by a clinician or a physician. This isn't like, you know, we've done many mass scale, if you will, testing or free screenings and things like that. This is much different than that. It has to be under the guise of a physician, you know, so an appointment for lack of a better sake. You have to go in and get that first so that the clinician then can determine, do you meet the criteria and what's the best course of action for you to send you to the nearest drive-up treatment site? Or is it, you know, do you think you might need urgent or emergent care or things like that? So sorting through those out, but really, you know, as these more testing sites become open and available, it's critical for people to understand you have to make that connection with your healthcare provider first before you can even be sent there to submit your sample for testing.
And for either Linda or Tom, what types of symptoms should our listeners be looking for to trigger them to say, maybe I should start that road or start the road of potentially getting a test or at very least talking to a healthcare professional?
Well, the symptoms for COVID, the most common symptoms are fever, cough, and shortness of breath. And this is a great question because I know, and Tom again can chime in, but we know that the healthcare system in the beginning was being very overwhelmed with people wanting to be tested. And so the message has been going out, please call your healthcare provider if you think you need to be tested. And testing really is not recommended for patients with mild upper respiratory symptoms, except in limited circumstances. So if you have patients with significant comorbidities who are not healthcare workers and they have mild illness, they should still call their healthcare provider. Healthcare workers, of course, are in a different category and they should be discussing this with their healthcare provider. And then the general population, a general rule of thumb is if your fever rises above 100 points or if you are short of breath climbing the stairs, or if your symptoms become significantly worse, we always encourage you to call the provider for testing. And the providers are very well versed in the signs and symptoms, and they've been doing a great job in directing the general public and patients in whether or not they should come in and be tested, or if they should just stay home and monitor their symptoms.
And just to play
can
off,
can I tag on to that, Terry Williams?
Yeah, this the Terry Williams, the Rhinelander Fire Chief. Go ahead.
I think exactly what Linda said is so important for this message, and that is if you believe that you have some of these symptoms, you know, to call your healthcare provider, to call a telephone in type of healthcare system before you rush to the emergency room, before you call 911 for an ambulance, because it's so important right now to understand the symptoms and what you may or may not have before you tax our healthcare system. because it's going to be super easy to overwhelm our healthcare system, and we have to make sure we work as a community not to do that. And I'm clearly not sending a message that, you know, if you need an ambulance, call 911. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of these that could prevent that type of a scenario by a phone call to your healthcare professional.
Thank you. You're listening to a special presentation on WXPR, a panel discussion surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic and its effects in the Northwoods. We're taking listener questions, and you've been great about submitting listener questions. Let's go to one that was submitted on Facebook. And I think Lauren, the director of the Rhinelander Area of Chamber of Commerce, is perhaps going to be the best to answer this first. And it has to do with an order that was put into place on Wednesday morning by Governor Tony Evers, declaring a safer at home situation and ordering all non-essential businesses be shut. And Ashley says, I've noticed the main confusion being discussed rather with the Governor Evers safe at home order has to do with the meaning of essential businesses. Do you think the governor was defining essential as businesses needed to sustain life or businesses needed to sustain livelihood? Well, we all know that medical facilities are needed to live. My livelihood is depending on the economy pushing on with facilities above and beyond medical care. So Lauren, you're in touch with the business community. What do you know and what are you telling your members about what counts as an essential business in this time?
We are very closely following the order that Governor Evers put out, and they do a really great job of putting what they deem to be essential in there. And we will have a link to that on our website shortly. But the main thing is if you have a question, you can reach out to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and ask, is my business essential? Is it not essential? If you think it's essential, you can also ask for a business designation. Right now, it is a lot in terms of the healthcare industry, essential infrastructure and government functions that are needed, as well as food, childcare, the core essential services that that the public needs, as well as our healthcare workers need to be able to do their jobs. So right now, the website that they have, it includes financial institutions to have access to your funds, hardware and supply stores. A lot of manufacturing is still included. Certainly media, critical trades. There really is a great variety that's included. And again, if you think that you are essential, but right now it doesn't spell that out, I urge you to reach out to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to ask and then see if you potentially qualify for the declaration.
Next question I'm going to ask to Kelly Jacoby, of the superintendent of the school district of Rhinelander, and it has to do with school not only as a place to learn, but as a place to take care of our kids. So many people rely on school as not only a place to further their educational experience, but they're used to putting their kids on a school bus every day as they go to work. How are you working with parents and families to get over that hurdle without in-person school?
That's probably been one of our most difficult areas as we move forward. We're trying to come up with plans that provide for as much support as children and families need, because that varies hugely from child to child. Some parents are asking for quite a bit of support. They want help with, doing those social things, fun activities with kids, extra resources on things that they can do with their kids, somebody that can call to check in, find out how the kids are doing, perhaps read them stories. So we're able to keep all of our staff doing something to help with the education, but we're trying not to inundate families. We're gauging what they need from us, and the teachers will be reaching out and because if parents have it under control and don't need a lot of support, we don't want to push too much at them. But some others want as much support as we can give them. So we're really trying to tailor it to meet the needs of each family.
You're listening to a special forum from WXPR focusing on the COVID-19 pandemic and its effect in the Northwoods. We're joined by Linda Conlin, the director of the Oneida County Health Department, Terry Williams, the Rhinelander Fire Chief, Kelly Jacoby, the Superintendent of Schools at the School District of Rhinelander, Tom Weaver, a spokesman for Ascension Health System in Wisconsin, and Lauren Sackett, the director of the Rhinelander Area Chamber of Commerce. Another health-related question, probably for Linda, perhaps Tom as well, but it has to do with the capacity here in Oneida County in the Northwoods. This comes from Keita, who sent us a question, and she asks, when our health system is filled with patients, where will new patients find care? How many critical care beds are in our area? Is there enough? And do we have enough ventilators, and masks?
I guess I'll start with that one, Ben. And you know, really, that is what the work being done by our folks constantly is going. You know, as we prepare for a possible surge of patients, all of our hospital and sites of care, you know, we've done things to make that extra space available and try to identify things. You know, things like personal protective equipment, as I said, and ventilators, things like that. You know, how many do we have? Where are they located? Do people know how to properly use them and get back? All of our facilities are putting together, you know, estimates on, you know, not only based on the beds that we have and things like that, but other additional space, what can be used. When it comes to things like ventilators, there are other things like anesthesia machines that can be used as well. So all of those things, what are some of the alternatives that can be used if necessary to get them in? But I think part of the path starts with getting people to the right system of care and the right level of care that they need when they need it. If we can do those things correctly, you know, when those urgent or more critical people come in, it'll make it easier to be able to triage them and do them if we're not overloaded with the other folks.
And I think what's a great asset for us is that not only has the local hospital been doing this for many years, planning for surge capacity, as well as the state and the nation, but regionally, they meet very frequently to talk about how many ICU beds do we have in the region, how many people are sick in the region, what are our caseloads. So not only do we do that locally to determine our surge capacity, but the hospitals work on that regionally with other hospitals and with emergency management, so resources that are needed can get to our area as soon as possible.
The next question I want to ask, I think is perhaps best for Terry Williams to take a stab at first. Marsha asks, is it true that people will need letters from employers to show to the authorities as they go to and from work while we're under this stay-at-home order? Jim asks, what if people do not obey the travel restrictions? Terry, I understand you're the fire chief and not the police chief, but what light can you shed on that?
You know, I know some employers have given their employees a letter stating that, Triggs is an example. They've given their employees a letter stating that, you know, I work for Triggs, so I'm traveling to and from work. I don't see that as being necessary. Is it maybe a positive step by the employer to help their employee out? Yeah, absolutely. I do not believe that you are going to see a lot of law enforcement contact pulling people over to find out where they're going, at least at this point, because really the governor's order is lenient enough to let you go do your grocery shopping, to let you go do, you know, your necessities. So I don't see that as a problem at this point at all.
Thank you. Next, a question for Lauren Sackett at the Rhinelander Area Chamber. As you may know, and as a lot of people may know from their friends and neighbors, some folks are without a job right now, whether they're on furlough or a layoff or have lost their jobs in another way, or they're in a job where they can't work from home. Question from Erica. Lauren, how can people who have lost their jobs go about getting help?
We have a really great resource right in town with the Northern Advantage Job Center. And right now I know their offices are closed, but they are still working. They're still providing assistance. And a really great resource would be to go to the Department of Workforce Development website. Right there, you can apply for unemployment, and they have changed the requirements for unemployment recently on March 17th. So some of the job searches and some of the other requirements, delays and when you can start receiving benefits, things like that have changed to accommodate this kind of situation. Anyone affected by this in terms of employment is encouraged to apply right now. You can do it from your home computer or smartphone. You can't visit the local job center, like I said, but you can call in and they're still going to be there to try to assist you as best they can.
Linda, at the Oneida County Health Department, this next question is for you, and it's a question that was asked in one form or another by a lot of different people to WXPR. It's a curious one. They want to know, can people who have gotten the virus get it a second time, or are you immune once you've gotten it once? What do we know about that?
So at this point in time, the science is really unsure about this. There has been an individual that we know of that has tested positive for COVID twice. And some of the reasons that we don't have a lot of evidence is because, generally speaking, people don't get tested twice. So we are unsure 100% whether or not you can get it twice or if people develop an immunity. And I would imagine, as with anything else, some of that is dependent on the person themselves and your own immune system. All different kinds of people develop immunity in different ways, and some people may develop a stronger immunity based on how sick they were, based on their own body. And so at this point, science does not answer that question, but there is some evidence that they might be able to get it a second time if they have not developed a strong immunity.
Linda, we haven't had any evidence yet. We haven't had any positive tests that anyone in Oneida County has got it the first time yet. If I can ask, is your department treating this as just a matter of time before someone tests positive in Oneida County? Is this a when, not if situation?
Absolutely. It is a when, not if situation. Although we have very little amounts of tests going on right now, and although we have no positive, we are seeing positives all over the place, and it's just a matter of when will we get our first positive. And when the testing tiers came into place, that really limited the amount of testing that is taking place. And now that we're seeing some more labs come online, I imagine that the testing in tiers 3 and 4 will pick up and we may see more of our positives come through. And once we have one positive, it's just a matter of contact tracing that's going to get us more positives.
By the way, those questions about potentially getting COVID-19 a second time, Jane and Susan submitted those questions. Thank you, among the others that submitted questions on Facebook and to WXPR.org. Kelly Jacoby at the Rhinelander School District, the last question I asked you was with regard to childcare. And when we think childcare, of course, we think the younger age group. But now I want to think about the older age group and the older students that go to the school district of Rhinelander and other schools. What about high schoolers that have AP tests coming up, advanced placement tests for college credit? What about high schoolers that are looking forward to potentially graduating? How are you handling things at the high school level?
We are working on plans for all of those things. We have review study groups for students that are, worried about AP exams or preparing for them. So that if they were able to do that when they were able to go to school, we're trying to replicate that, but in a virtual way. We're trying to many of our teachers are using Google Classroom and Google Hangout to get kids together at least virtually for that social aspect so that they can do things as a group, touch base with kids to make sure they're doing okay. We haven't made any decisions about graduation. We're trying to be optimistic that we will be back in session and we'll be able to have graduation just like we always do. We will look at postponing special events in the event that we need to, because those are all really important to a lot of high school students, those milestone events. I would guess that the co-curriculars and athletics, I don't see those bouncing back as quickly if we do get to come back. But we will be prepared for whatever we're allowed to do with our students.
Kelly, is there any prospect that the state could say, or the governor could say, schools open at your own will, and Rhinelander or perhaps other districts would choose that it's just not safe yet? Is that a possibility?
I don't see that happening. I think it's going to be a state order. There are several school districts around our state that have already canceled face-to-face classes for the rest of the school year. We're not there yet. I guess I'm an optimist at heart. I'm hopeful that people are going to pay attention to this safer at home order. We're going to be able to, when, you know, we start getting positives, we're going to be able to at least keep them at a minimum. If people are paying attention and spending time at home, and, you know, the social distancing, the hand washing, if people will take that all seriously and actually do what we need to do to get back to normal faster, I'm hopeful that people will do that.
You're listening to a special forum on WXPR. This is Ben Meyer, and we're talking with local panelists and local experts around the topic of the COVID-19 outbreak and its impact on Wisconsin and its potential impact here on the Northwoods. And we're taking listener questions and putting them to our experts and panelists. The next one is for Lauren Sackett, the director of the Rhinelander Area Chamber of Commerce. This comes from Gail, and apparently Gail doesn't live in the Northwoods, but travels here from time to time, as so many do in our tourist-based economy and tourist area. And of course, there's not a whole lot of traveling going on right now, but she asks, as a sometimes visitor to the Northwoods, how will local lodgings assure that their facilities are clean when travel is good to go again?
I know that several of the local lodging establishments in the Rhinelander area that I communicate with normally are doing a really great job to work on addressing those issues. Cleaning, they are limiting staff and limiting people that are using their facilities right now under Governor Evers' order. And they've made adjustments as well because of food service. So most of those places that have continental breakfast type things, they don't offer those types of services right now in an effort to continue to have clean facilities. I'm sure that there are several other lodging establishments around the Northwoods that are doing things as well, but I know I've communicated with Rhinelander area establishments.
Terry Williams, the Rhinelander Fair Trade Chief, next question is for you. And this is a bit of a guessing game, but one of our listeners wants to know what's next in terms of restrictions. Would there be any restrictions that could be any more drastic than what we have right now?
I absolutely think it could come to that, depending upon how our public takes the restrictions we have now. So if we've paid attention worldwide to this, you know, the more we isolate, the more we, you know, stay home like the governor's order now, the more we don't go out in public, the better chance we have of preventing the spread of this and actually beating it or flattening that curve that everybody's talking about. You know, I do see if our public doesn't take it seriously, you know, I do see that potential in the future for rules even getting more strict. It's all going to depend upon how our public takes these warnings. And, you know, certainly I'm of the idea that I hope they take it seriously because it's the only way we're going to beat it.
Tom Weaver, go ahead from Ascension.
Yeah, just to play off that on the healthcare, that goes for healthcare. You know, we are setting up as much access as we can virtually by telephone, whatever that is. I think all of the healthcare systems in the area have done a great job of setting up at least a dedicated toll-free line for people with questions that can call. But taking it a step further, you know, we offer a virtual care product where you can get seen by a physician from your computer, from your phone, or from your laptop or tablet, whatever that might be. The next step for us is we are, you know, there's a lot of work being done on the regulatory side of things to open up telemedicine options. So you could call one of our clinics and get a telephone appointment and then get sent to one of the drive-through screening things. All those things do is reduce your risk of exposure and also reduce the risk of exposing healthcare workers to it. So there are a lot of options when it comes to healthcare as well to think about that from the social distancing standpoint, either by telephone, by virtual care, or those things that are out there.
Tom, I want to follow up on that because I think a lot of people's antennae went up when they heard you say drive-through testing becoming available at Ascension locations in Rhinelander, in Crandon, and in Stevens Point in the next couple of days. And I thought, great, this is my chance. We talked about it before, earlier in this hour, but spell out really clearly what procedure people should take step by step if they think they might possibly test positive for COVID. How should they go about getting that test and what steps should they take?
Yeah, obviously, you know, the first thing is anybody who thinks they may have had contact with someone who is confirmed to have or is being evaluated for COVID-19, you should contact your physician. Begin that process there to help spread the disease. You know, CDC really recommending that that contact before going to a doctor's office or emergency room. I know Linda talked about many of the signs and symptoms that are, you know, pretty commonly associated with the flu and things like that as well. So you should call ahead, get an appointment, and know that you also, you know, the other talk that has been a lot about is, gee, I went and to talk to my physician, I was denied screening. Well, you know, there are the criteria that have been set up to place those priorities and things. And again, I think as, again, as we touched on before earlier, as testing options expand, either through our sites, others, and as labs can produce more, you know, we've also talked about how the numbers are going to go up just because you're simply testing. So, you know, really make sure that you have made a connection. And before you come to a mobile screening site, you know, there has to be a visit of some kind, either in person, by phone, virtual care, or whatever, because they will generate that physician order that will be needed to collect the sample at the remote locations. As I said, the first three launching on Thursday. We have other areas that are in development as our lab folks can develop the supplies and have what's needed to do this.
Linda Conlon at the Oneida County Health Department, if you look at a map of where the positives are in the state of Wisconsin, people are getting used to seeing that state map with red dots all over the place with where positive cases are. The big gap is in the Northwoods. The big gap is where we are. We haven't had a case, a positive case in Oneida County, nor really anywhere in the Northwoods to this point. Why is that? Is that just because we're a little bit more rural than the rest of the state?
Well, and actually this often happens with influenza and other diseases, is we find that it starts at the southern part of the state and moves itself forward, so, or upward, and it's not unusual. We're not surprised that this is happening with COVID-19 as well. So we do expect that they will move forward and we will have a positive case soon. Marathon County and Bayfield County are the closest counties at this point in time to us that have positives, but it will happen and it will happen soon. And again, this is a normal progression of many diseases that we see in the Northwoods.
If I can follow up on that, does that mean that the thought is that if it doesn't catch on, if the disease doesn't catch on here in Oneida County in the Northwoods as early as it has in other parts of the state, is there a chance that it lingers longer because it didn't get started as quickly?
Definitely. We see, again, looking at influenza, we see our spike in influenza a little bit differently than the rest of the state. And so when we look at our positive cases, our curve is going to start later and potentially last longer. But again, as Terry indicated earlier, if we are going to, quote, flatten the curve, we are hoping that we can see just a small curve and let it drop relatively quickly, and maybe we will not see as big of a bump as we're seeing in the southern part of the state, because remember, we are implementing our stay-at-home, safer-at-home practices earlier than they have implemented it in the case load in the southern part of the state. So Milwaukee, who has over 200 cases, implemented their stay at home at the same time as we did. So the hope is that because we do not have any cases right now, we are not going to see the large bump in cases as they are seeing in the southern part of Wisconsin.
Linda, because I know your time is limited, I want to ask one more question before I let you go. You mentioned the influenza, and we have flu season every year, of course. We have a question from Susan, and she's wondering, with all the precautions of social distancing and washing hands, is there any indication that the number of regular flu cases is lower? And if yes, might that be an indication that these efforts are working? What does the flu landscape look like this winter?
Actually, right now, we are still seeing quite a bit of influenza A and B hospitalizations. It is our most frequent reported respiratory illness currently. However, time will tell if these things that we are putting in place right now will make an impact on our influenza cases. And I would guess that it should, because we're doing everything what we're supposed to be doing to prevent the flu, to prevent COVID, such as social distancing, staying home when you're sick, washing your hands. So I imagine that we will see an impact on influenza cases as well, but only time will give us that answer.
That's Linda Conlin of the Oneida County Health Department. You're listening to a special forum on COVID-19 in the Northwoods here on WXPR. We've also got Terry Williams, the Rhinelander Fire Chief and Emergency Management Director, on the line. Kelly Jacoby, the Superintendent of the School District of Rhinelander. Tom Weaver of Ascension. And Lauren Sackett of the Rhinelander Area Chamber of Commerce. Lauren, I know that part of your job is keeping the economy moving, especially the small business economy moving as best as possible in these really, really odd times. If you would, give an example or two of some of the creativity that you've seen amongst businesses in our area to keep people moving and keep the economy moving and spending a little bit of money locally.
In our immediate area, we have definitely seen some cool creativity. There are a couple of Facebook groups that popped up, one called Northwoods Coronavirus Help, as well as Support Your Local Businesses. And we see a lot of community members that are using those platforms to share information about what other small businesses are doing. One of our members, Press Express, over the last couple of days created free banners for restaurants that were in need of sharing the word that they do delivery and carry out. So there's been a lot of creativity. We've been trying to, on the chamber side, help push a lot of people to small businesses as well. We created a local support bingo that you can find on our Facebook page, as well as recently a food photo contest to try to get people out in those restaurants, take pictures of the meals that they have, post them on social media. It's really a great time to be creative in terms of your marketing, to try to get people in your businesses if you can. And the main message that we've been trying to share is support each other. If you can, support your local businesses, support those small businesses, and do what you can to help.
Kelly Jacoby at the School District of Rhinelander, what kind of guidance or what suggestions are you giving parents who, like you mentioned, many of them aren't school teachers themselves, right? And are kind of in a semi-school teacher role with their kids getting ready for online learning. What kind of guidance are you giving them to help along their students, both with their educational studies and also caring for the mental health of themselves and their students?
I'll hit the mental health first, because that's the one that we really worry about, especially with our children, because things are so different. Our counseling staff will be continuing with lessons, with outreach to families, to make sure the kids that need to be able to talk, that need some positive a discussion concerning this, for parents that need help and how to talk about it. They're coming up with plans for all of that. So our website is being updated daily with additional information that parents might need, might want. We're not saying everybody has to do it, but if they're interested and they want help with that, that we have those resources available. because we know they're not all teachers. And this is going to be a very difficult time. Teachers will all be reaching out to provide the level of support that parents need, because it's going to vary from student to student.
Thank you. The last question I want to ask, or either last or second to last question, is going to go to Terry Williams, in part because I know he's been involved with this city, Rhinelander, and the Northwoods for such a very long time. Terry, you're the fire chief here. You have been for a while.
Old Ben.
It's not a dig, man. You're experienced.
Okay.
Put this into perspective in terms of what you've seen in this city, whether it be a disaster of one kind or another, a blizzard, snowstorm. Where does this kind of odd and novel health crisis rank? How does it compare to other situations that you've seen in your time with the city?
I've got almost 29 years as a firefighter with the city of Rhinelander, and this does not compare with anything I've seen in my career. You know, I would say that the only thing I can come close to it comparing to is the panic that ensued after 9/11 and the uncertainty of what our country was going to be facing. To me, this is scarier. This is hidden. This is, you know, and when I say that, I don't say it to cause panic or freak anybody out. I say it just so that people really take this seriously. I can't stress enough how important I think the stay at home, the, you know, only if you need groceries, you know, Triggs, Walmart, they all have, you can order your groceries online and go pick them up. You can minimize that contact. You know, Ben, you've said it a couple times in this broadcast, you know, about social distancing. And, you know, I think it's really awkward when you are out in the public and you try to remind somebody of that. You know, they don't take it well in most cases. So I hope they're taking this seriously. But I guess to get back to your point, I haven't seen anything like this in my career.
And that brings us to the end of our hour. You've been listening to a special broadcast here on WXPR, of a special broadcast and a panel discussion about the COVID-19 outbreak and its impacts here on Rhinelander, Oneida County, and the Northwoods as a whole. We want to thank our panelists. You just heard from Terry Williams. He's the fire chief of the city of Rhinelander, and he's handling emergency management for the city as well. You heard from Linda Conlin, the director of the Oneida County Health Department, Kelly Jacoby of the school district of Rhinelander. She's the superintendent there. Tom Weaver, spokesperson for Ascension Health System, and Lauren Sackett of the Rhinelander Chamber of Commerce. She's the executive director. This is Ben Meyer thanking you for listening, and with a brief update on the newest numbers, even newer than the ones that you heard from Oneida County Health Director Linda Conlin. As of late Wednesday afternoon, we now have 585 positive cases of COVID-19 in Wisconsin, as well as 6 deaths. And something else new we learned late on Wednesday afternoon, the first case in the Northwoods has been detected, a positive test in Vilas County of a 65-year-old man who's now in the hospital. He has a history of out-of-state travel. Be sure to stay tuned to WXPR for the latest of the COVID-19 outbreak across the country, across the state, and here in the Northwoods. This has been a production of WXPR.